I'm so pleased now to welcome Alicia Ostreicher, a poet and critic, the author of 10 volumes of poetry, including The Volcano Sequence and The Crack in Everything. And she was twice finalist for the prestigious National Book Award. Welcome to our program.
Hi, Susanna. Glad to be talking to you.
I was so moved by your poem in the new volume, Poetry After 9/11, that I'm so pleased that you're willing to read your poem to us. It is called The Window at the Moment of Flame.
Okay. The Window at the Moment of Flame. The window at the moment of flame. And all this while I have been playing with toys. A toy superhighway, a toy automobile, a house of blocks. And all this while, far off in other lands, thousands and thousands, millions and millions, you know, you see the pictures, women carrying their bony infants, men sobbing over graves, buildings sculpted by explosion, earth wasted, bare and rotten. And all this while I have been shopping. I have been, let us say, free. And do they hate me for it? Do they hate me?
This poem works for me on so many levels. On my first reading, I thought that there was a woman standing at a window in the trade towers looking out. And as we spoke about it earlier, you said that there are many points of view from which this poem can be interpreted. What was the inspiration for you in writing this poem?
Well, I wrote it a couple of weeks, I think, after 9/11, and it was really precipitated by exhaustion with the rhetoric of journalism and politics, including debates over whether poets could or couldn't, should or shouldn't, write about public calamities, write about political events, write about public as well as personal events. And the airwaves and the media and my computer screen were full of expressions of patriotism or anti-patriotism. And I was saturated, flooded. I felt very small. I felt very sad. And as a poet, I felt as if none of these words, although I was using some of them too, were adequate. So that's what precipitated the poem. And as you were saying, the poem has a lot of ambiguity in it, and I think that's part of what poetry is for and can do, to capture in apparently simple ways what is not simple. So yes, on the one hand, it seems to be like the consciousness of a person at a window of the World Trade Towers at the moment of their destruction. But it's also the window of consciousness in general, and the moment of flame is our generalized moment in history. And poetry itself is a window. So there's that ambiguity of meaning, and also the question of who we are and what we are and what we are doing as Americans with our freedom.
The last line throughout, you put only two dashes for punctuation, and the last line, and as you read it, it's not exactly a question, it's not exactly a statement. I found that last line, do they hate me, and that's italicized me.
Yeah.
The problem, it seems, is that with abstract ideals and concepts, we forget the individual. If only people could actually even hate just an individual, they couldn't do this. The terrorists did not even know to feel anything for themselves. They just were hating and loving ideas and following through on that.
There is that. I also wanted this voice to be somewhere that is both innocent like a child and incredulous.
Yes.
And at the same time, not innocent.
Feeling perhaps the complicity of...
Feeling perhaps complicity, yeah.
Of how we are living our lives. What happened to us happened to the world. It didn't happen in isolation. It was not something that didn't get some kind of precipitation from all that's been happening. I mean, the culture is so rich here. The terrorists came from a culture that's so devastated, as you were saying, women carrying bony infants, men sobbing over graves.
Although those particular terrorists were middle-class, well-off people. So it is very complicated, but part of what I wanted to imply without saying it, but let it
resonate,
more or less resonate or even bubble up, drift into consciousness, was the idea, the feeling that this is a moment, as you were saying, when America was joining the rest of the world.
Yes.
Because so many people in the world don't have our sense of comfort and invulnerability and inviability.
You said on the website, Moby Lives, you said that poems clarify whether we like it or not. Can you elaborate on that just a little for us in this context?
Yes, often it is said that poetry is therapeutic.
True, that's true.
And I've never found poetry to be therapeutic, and I'm not that interested in poetry that attempts to be therapeutic, as I think a great deal of post-9/11 poetry does, though the work in the Poetry After 9/11 volume that this poem is in, I think, doesn't
attempt
to be therapeutic, and that's a strength. I think poetry is diagnostic more than it is therapeutic. A poem can go to the heart of a matter, of a situation, and clarify what the problem is. Diagnose it. You need diagnosis before you can have healing.
And there's some wounds that must not or cannot be fully healed. And I think that sometimes the media tries to talk over and inundate us as if these feelings could be canceled out and everything can be patriotic and okay again.
Well, and indeed, our administration uses violence as healing.
Yes, yes. You're so right. I want to thank you so much, Alicia Ostreicher, for speaking with us. I hope that you will be able to speak with us again on Poets on Air.
I'd love to, and thank you, Susanna.
Thank you so much. Forgiveness is sung in Urdu, Hebrew, and in French. They sleep in darkness, in cooled oxygen structures, invisible, limitless. They lie awake, waiting in smooth concrete beds, uranium-fed. My children are still sleeping, so their dreams may take them away from here. I once believed in natural law, before the silos. I once believed in all that is holy, before the silos, before the Trinity. Dark night of the soul, forgive us that we did not understand.